Hey, hi, hello, and welcome back to another installment of International Index, coming to you from UCC's 98.3 FM. It is 7 minutes past 11 o'clock here, and today I'm joined in studio by Nora, who is a lecturer here in UCC. She's also an activist in the local community, an activist for human rights, for women's rights, and for people immigrating to Ireland. Nora is from Somalia, and so today's theme for the episode is the country of Somalia, which I'm really looking forward to getting into. Nora, thank you so much for coming on. How are things?
Thank you for having me.
So obviously, Nora, you're from Somalia. You moved to Ireland in 2005. I just kind of wanted to give the listeners, maybe some of the listeners mightn't really know a lot about Somalia. I wanted to give them the general, like, how Somalia feels and where it is. So Somalia is off the Horn of Africa, which is by the Red Sea. And it's like an just researching this episode, it's just like the most gorgeous country. It's absolutely beautiful.
Thank you for having me, Kian. I'm so happy to share with your audience a little bit about my country, Somalia, which is a very beautiful, great country with great people in a great continent.
Yeah, absolutely. <laughs> Yes,
Somalia is a country which is in Horn East of Africa, and it has bordered in Djibouti, Ethiopia, Kenya, Gulf of Yemen, and the Indian Ocean. So those of you who might not know Somalia, Somalia is a country which located that countries I have been talking about. And it has, Somalia has one of the largest and the longest coast of Africa. It has an amazing land, mountainous, beautiful seas. If you look many places in the world, when you want to, the type of beach that you may be looking for is in Somalia. So if you go the Lido beach in Mogadishu, if you go the beach of the Red Sea and Arabic and Peninsula in Somaliland, you can see Berbera, you can see Seila, you can see Lukaya, in Kismayo. We have beautiful small islands which is very near to Kenya, but also if you look at it, it's like a paradise. Somalia is a beautiful country with beautiful people. And it's very strategic country around the world that many international actors may like when it's economical wise, and also for trade issues and all that. Somalia have very long history, and it has it's one of the Somali people are one of the, I think, majority of an ethnic community. Like, we have one ethnicity, Somali. So the Somali people are united as a Somali, and we call it Somali. So you can see they have one language called Somali, which has different dialogues in the regions of the country. And also we have different ways of doing things, but in a general, the people are Somalis. They have same culture, same religion, which is Muslim, Sunni Muslim, which is also one chapter or one school of thought of Islamic religion, which is called Shafi'iyah. And that's showing how the people are connected in culturally, languagely, because we don't have a language which is not Somali. We have the second language, we use Arabic, which is also influenced by our Islamic religion. And also Italy, we had some Italian words in our language. And also we have some English language which have been affected by or influenced by our culture, by the colonial empires which colonized Somalia, and some parts of Somalia also, which like now in Djibouti, have been influenced by French. So we have different effect influenced by bit cultures in the food, in many aspects of the other cultures. But the people are Somalis, the culture is Somali, the tradition is Somali, the language is Somali, the people are Somalis. So thank you.
Absolutely, that was amazing. Thank you so much, Nora, for clearing that all up and making it so. But so as we were saying, it's just an amazing bed of culture in an absolutely beautiful part of the world. 3,300 kilometers of coastline. So a lot of beaches, and I think it generally stays the same temperature all year round, because you're right, you sit right on the equator.
Yes, mostly they have similar, but also in Somalia we have different geographical
topography.
Some of them they are highlands.
Yeah.
Some of them we are like semi. Like desserts, like in many like Arabian Peninsula, if you go, they a bit hot in the summer. So especially the Red Sea.
Mm-hmm.
But also sometimes they are a bit cold. But the cold we are talking about, it's not the cold of Ireland. Maybe it's our early summer.
Yes, of course.
So so we have all the way like from the day. We don't have more winter, or we don't have more like a cold environment. So most of the time, the climate is similar, but it's a little bit hotter in October and in March,
mm-hmm.
because Somalia is a tropical country. So it's a bit hot, but not very, very hot like many other countries.
Yeah. So you went back to Somalia this summer. I was wondering if you could maybe describe like what you saw while you were there, how it felt. Going around the town, back to Mogadishu, the capital of Somalia. You know, it's a big country,
yes,
50 million people.
Absolutely. Somalia, which I have not been in very long time since I moved to Ireland. I came to Ireland in 2005, October. Since that time, I only went back in August, in July. In July 2023. So it's very near And actually, before, like, I was yearning and feeling was homesick.
Yeah, of course.
I was yearning
as
to
you
go
would,
back
yeah.
home and see back home. It was one of the things that I always, like, dreaming. It became like it was hurting me. Like, I would love to go back on home and see. There was so many times in different in circumstances, like security, which was not enabling me to go mm-hmm. back home. But thank God we were lucky to go back with my children, to go back and see home. There was so much difference by the time I was coming here.
Yeah, of course.
Because Kian, maybe you might not be aware of, but I was a child when the Somali Civil War happened.
Yeah.
But before that, it was so beautiful and it was so stable and everything was fine. And the structure was fine, but by the time I was growing up at the end, like I think early, I was like 10 years when the civil war happened. But after that, the country have been destroyed by conflict and war.
Yes.
So it was not very stable and it was not safe to stay there. So within that time, it was good, bad and bad times. So
yes,
I had lovely
course.
Memory and I have bad memory of
yes.
war and affected the war have been
mm-hmm.
affected us. But it was... Everything was only destruction. There was no buildings. There was no like lively happening. There was just surviving. And I think the strength and the resilience of Somali people made enable to bring back a little bit life again,
mm-hmm.
to build Somali great again. So there is so much development.
And
so much buildings happening in the country. So beautiful. I really enjoyed it.
Going back this summer, you must have... did it feel more like the Somalian from your childhood, from before? Did it feel... Especially the communities going back, seeing your family? Because I feel like community and family is hugely important in Somalian culture. You're very connected, even with extended family. Was it nice to go back and connect with all your...
That
was
really, really, thank you for questioning me that. For Somali people, like in every, maybe in every culture is, you are part of a family and community
mm-hmm.
where also Somalians, like they are community-oriented people. So for me, being here in Ireland for 18 years was hugely a gap. I couldn't see most of my relatives and my friends from childhood.
Yes, of course.
Those who grew up and have family like me who have children. Some of them, they have died. Some of them, they have immigrated like me in many other places. So I have met my friends. I have met family that I have been separated for a very long time. So it was so emotional for me. I was crying. I
mm-hmm.
was so happy. I was hugging. It was a bit shock as well because so much change have happened since I was away from home. My siblings have children after me who
yeah.
like I just only could see their pictures when they send me, or maybe I can some of them see them through video. But actually, when I see them physically and become part of them, that was emotional and love and connected again.
Yes. And we're gonna get back and talk a little bit more about Somalian life after this next song, which is Nimiko Happy.
Niwa Happy.
I'm so bad. I'm so sorry. So sorry, guys. But it's called Love You More Than My Life. Here you go. Hello and welcome back to International Index. I'm on with Nora here from Somalia, and we're talking all things Somalia today. So Nora was back in Somalia this summer, and she went back to her home city of Mogadishu, which is the capital, the biggest, the most populated city in Somalia. And I just wanted to talk a little bit about maybe, you know, just a sense of Mogadishu, this capital city, this hub of cultures, and this kind of almost loads of people moving. I want to get a sense of the smells, the color, the food, the nightlife, kind of how it all operates. Would you mind talking a little bit about that, Nora?
Yeah, thank you. Actually, it's beautiful to be in Mogadishu. So Mogadishu, like, at this stage, it's very lively city, and you can find any cuisine that you like. It's very like international, and there's a lot of cafeteria. There is a food available everywhere. If you like to have seafood, if you have traditional Somali food, if you like to have Western food, you can get in Mogadishu. As culturally in Somalia, we are very colorful community. Especially if you look at the women, We like so many colors.
Yeah,
you
of course.
See, our dress is so much colors.
The Durak dress. Yes, sorry, my apologies. Yes. Yeah.
The dress is so beautiful and it has so many colors, so many shining.
Mm.
It has so many layers that you can use it for a different
purposes. It's super intricate and elegant, isn't it? It's amazing. I encourage if anyone's into fashion design, give it a look.
Yeah. So it's culturally influenced by different as well in Arabic style, also Indian style, Pakistani style, and all that, in Turkish style as well. So it's very interconnected in East African culture as well. In East African dress, you can find it anyway, that you can find. Also, we have handy traditional made Somali clothing that we can call it Alindi.
Okay.
It's very colorful as well. You can use any color you want.
Yeah.
And you can use it cotton, and then later on they will develop it from. And especially for Somali man, if you like, we have a kofi.
Oh, the little hat,
Billy hat. And it's very for, it's called Somali hat.
Yeah.
Kofiet.
Kofiet.
And mostly, especially the respectable men in the community use that.
It's like a fashionable, going about town kind of thing. Yes. Wow,
and shati for the shari is for the men, especially the middle-aged men and respectable men in the community.
Mm-hmm.
With colored also men, they use it ma'awis. I don't know if you have seen that.
Ma'awis. Yeah, I was looking at them. Yeah,
yes, the ma'awis. Also, it has different types and qualities.
Mm-hmm.
You might find one ma'awis like $100, €100, one ma'awis.
Yeah.
And it's like a little bit like a skirt. But it's not a skirt. But if you're looking at it, you can find it that it may be culturally connected that also in southern India or southern culture. They may use it in a different way, but they have that ma'awis. And also they use that ma'awis also in Yemen, if you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's different cultures, but influenced in different ways.
It's like, because we're talking a little bit about this off-air, kind of how it's almost like at the center of the world, in a sense.
Yes.
Somalia is, it's right on the coast the Horn of Africa. And like probably one of the first places that early humans ever would have been.
Yes.
So one of the sites of Somalia is the Gendluse cave paintings.
Yes.
Which are the oldest paintings, and I was looking them up for research, and they're beautiful.
Lasgel in Somaliland, in the
north, and they're gorgeous. They're like maroon and red, and they're images of like cows and mythical creatures, and they're like 5,000 years old, like 3,000. BCE, which is fascinating. So if anyone is ever going to Somalia, that's one of the things
they may look at it. That also, that's giving you connection back in the pharaonic times.
Yes,
where in the pharaonic in Egypt used to make trade in Somaliland, which is part of Somalia, the north of Somalia, and also going back. Also, that time they wrote it in books. Rem on the land of Bunt or Bunt land.
Okay, yeah.
Is the land of the saints, because it was we have a lot of trees which developed the people. The thing is that we made perfumes.
The frankincense.
Yeah. So they used to go there and get it from there, and gold, and also something to make necklaces and all that.
Right.
So that used trade, and also the China, the civilization of China used to go that. So already they didn't know the name of Somalia, but they called it the name of the land of Bunt or Buntland.
Wow.
So it's historically connection with Somalia, that it was a place of trade internationally, which has connection with civilization of the world.
Yeah.
The Chinese civilization, the Ottoman Empire, the Egyptian civilization, which traded from Somalia, wrote in their books. So it's that connection. You can see the foot that it left on the tradition on that place.
There's like
it's a historical place. I think the UNESCO heritage are now connecting to Somalia and to bring out that connection, because there is historical buildings.
Yeah, that's reflected in Mogadishu, the city.
Mogadishu as well,
one thing I kind of wanted to ask you was, if you were taking me around Mogadishu for a day or a week, like what are some of the things, some of the sites that are like you have to see? Is it the fish market? Is it the lighthouse? Is it the soldier statue?
Yes. I would like to take you to Mogadishu. I would like first to see the nightlife of Mogadishu.
Of course, yeah.
Where every day, every night you can see like it's like a daylight.
Mm-hmm.
You can find any shopping you want, from grocery, like clothing, like any kind of shopping you like. If you go to restaurant at that time, at that stage, you can find anything in Mogadishu. So it's very life and like you can find, you can go any minute in the night and go out and buy what you want. So the shops are not morally closed.
Yeah, yeah.
Very little time they're closed.
It's just hustle and bustle.
And the people
the whole
are
time.
Moving around. So there's so many people who like to come out at night
yeah.
and enjoy the socialization.
And would there be like little cafes? Would you be getting teas
and all
of course,
that? And younger people a lot, because 70% of Somalian population are youth.
Yeah.
And younger people, well, under 20.
So it's like a really bright future.
Very bright future.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, and if you like to go to Mogadishu in Hamarweyne, which is one of the earliest markets have been built in Mogadishu, very long time. It's like very old-fashioned, like mm-hmm. the English market here.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's call it the market of Hamarweyne. And you can find a mosque which has been built like more than 1,500 ago. You can find it the market of the fish, which honestly, like we love the fish, fresh fish from the sea.
Yeah.
And you buy today and you try to go and connect it and cook.
Yeah.
So you don't need to put in a freezer or fridge.
Yeah.
And all that things are organic. And the organic fish, I like it. I buy it very cheap price.
Mm-hmm.
If I go to the English market and I buy 1 kg of the tuna fish.
Yes.
It's like 32 euros or 28
really?
Euros.
Oh, God.
Where in Mogadishu, I can buy 5 euros.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
And 1 kg of tuna fish.
Mm, yeah.
You can find different fish in Somalia. That's why also in the sea. That's why many international boats and ships are shipping illegally
yes,
in Somalia.
Yes, this big problem at the moment.
We didn't have
no
very
navy
long time,
or
very
yeah.
security.
Yeah,
which looking
of
after
course.
Us.
Yeah, which so it's hugely
so
important.
So I would like to take you to Mogadishu sometime.
Absolutely, it sounds amazing.
For you now to go in Mogadishu, you can get the fish, fresh fish, fresh meat, goat, camel. Have you ever drink camel milk?
Oh, no, but I'll have to try it for sure.
Yes,
eventually.
Camel milk.
You have there's a lot of camels. It's where camels originated, isn't it? In the world, there's 8 million camels in Somalia alone.
I think it's mostly populated camel in
yeah,
the world.
The biggest herd of camels in the world, yeah.
If the person have a lot of camels, they are rich.
Okay.
And they are very proud.
Yeah.
They have so many camels, they keep names for them.
Yeah.
And camel is one of the things that if you want to boast, say, okay, I just want to talk about to demonstrate my wealth
mm-hmm.
or to want to imagine if I want to say something about my wealth, I will use the name of camel.
Okay,
so
right.
So camel is very important in Somali life.
Yeah, very much part of the culture. Yeah.
Yes, so and it's so beautiful and camel milk is so important.
Yes.
It has a lot of calcium.
Yeah, it's very, because they're very, they're very nutrient. They're like very, you know, full of it.
If somebody from Somalia, you want to go back from overseas, from Somali diaspora, want to go back home, they will say the first things I would like to drink is camel milk.
Of course. Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So
I'm say a little bit about Somali cuisine.
Okay, yeah, of course, go.
Somali cuisine, as I said, it has been influenced by different diverse cultures, which the neighboring south and southern African countries.
Mm-hmm.
We also have been affected by the cuisines of Yemen and or other Arabic countries on the south, because Somalia is the spicy sea.
Yes, it's right.
So spicy
yeah.
roots, yeah. So we get a lot of spices from
the Middle East, yeah.
From the India
in yes.
the ocean, because we have the long coast of India.
Yes.
So that all that culture is coming to Somalia. So we have many, you can find it mostly in our other African countries' dishes. And if you see the Somali dish is more connected to the Afro-Asiatic food.
Yes, yes.
Mainly, and also it affected by also European, like Italy, because Italy used to colonize yep. southern Somalia.
A lot of pasta.
A lot of pasta. We love pasta.
Yeah.
Yes. And suga is like the sauce we use for the pasta.
Okay, yes.
We have also pancake anjera.
Mm-hmm.
Anjera is very important in the morning, Somalian food.
Okay.
And every morning, like in the night, you prepare in a very well, like holistic way. You enjoy when you're preparing the anjera and give it time to put the ingredients all together. So you prepare it in the night and in the morning you bake it.
Yes.
In a pan. So every child will come in and take two or three pancakes. Some of them they use with bear. Bear is like liver.
Okay.
Goat liver or beef liver or camel liver with other sauces, like if you want to like vegetable sauce or anything, or if you wanted to use sesame oil.
Yes.
With honey or a little bit of sugar.
Sounds amazing.
Yes. I would love you also to test the Somali tea.
Oh, the Somali tea.
It's more different than many other cultures.
Yeah.
Like Somali tea, it's something like you use it to prepare it with full attention. And it's not only water and, and tea together and milk together, a little bit of sugar now. It has a lot of different spices.
Okay, wow.
So it's a little bit connected with the Indian chai.
Yeah.
But also, this one is a little bit different because we use it cardamom, green cardamom. Cardamom is it, if I'm pronouncing correctly. We use it cinnamon sticks.
Yes.
We use it in cloves. We use it a little bit ginger. So you smash all that together. Put it in the water, boil them together, put the tea together, then filter later on. If you want to cook it with milk, you can do that. So if you want a little bit of honey, if you don't take sugar, but the sugar you take it. So Somali tea, you give it time. It's not like you give it together.
Wow.
And we have Asariya time. The Asariya time is at the time of, like when in the morning you drink like the tea, like normal, like everyone here.
Yeah.
But also in Asariya time is we have an afternoon nap, Somalia.
Wow.
If you are not working all the day.
Yeah, yeah.
But normally, culturally, the children, when they come back from the madrasa or the Quranic school or the school, normal school, they have to go to have a shower, they have to take their lunch and pray and go to bed for at least 1 hour.
Okay, yeah.
So afternoon nap is part of the culture.
Yeah.
And if you are mother, you will do the same and all that.
Yeah.
So when you wake up, then Asariya is that time.
Yeah, it's like it brings a nice pace to life. Yes. It does. It kind of like breaks
you
up.
You use like samosa. Samosa?
No.
It's like a triangle.
Okay.
They call it sambusa in Somalia, but it's samosa. It's also used in southern Asia, like India and Pakistan.
Mm-hmm.
It's also used in other in Arabian countries, but also Somalia is part of our culture.
Yes.
And it's used like a pastry.
Okay.
That pastry you would cut it and use it like triangle and put it like a meat and bit vegetables and bit spices together and connect it like a triangle.
Oh, wow.
That's a little bit poor. It's like a little bit like a different other pastries that you use.
Yeah, yeah.
So Asariya, you can have that. We turn it like dates.
And
halwa, have you tried?
I've never tried halwa, I'll have to. And if any of the listeners in Cork, or in Ireland, is there places where you can go if you wanted to try East African Somalian dishes?
In Dublin.
In Dublin,
yes.
Yeah.
They have three, I think, different restaurants and cafeterias.
Well, yeah.
And then you can find it. That I wish one will be in Cork.
Of course.
So now I think we are getting a lot of good Somalian community in Cork.
Yeah,
so of course. Maybe one of us can.
Eventually, hopefully, yeah.
It's so nice. You will love it.
Sounds
honestly,
amazing,
Does. If you go in a kitchen with Somali food, you see the smell. Of the different hot spices in the ingredients of that.
Wow, yeah, that's fascinating.
So Somali food is very special.
Yeah, I really need to try some now, definitely, after this. I'm hungry just talking about it. I've been listening to a lot of Somalian music, as I've been saying, for this
Somali
show.
Tea.
Yeah, absolutely, I'll try the Somalian tea for sure. I'll have to. but as I was saying, I'm listening to a lot of Somalian music at the moment, and I came across this one album, which was Mogadiscu. Magadisco, which is like 80s disco from Mogadishu, and it's so groovy. I really love it. So this song here is called Duyo, and it's by the Dur Dur Band from Mogadishu. Thank you. welcome back to UCC's 98.3 FM. You're listening to International Index. Today we're talking all things Somalian. That song there was Duyo by the Door Door Band, a really groovy little number that I really enjoyed. So I'm on with Nora here, and we're talking all things Somalia and Mogadishu before that song there. But now I kind of want to talk a little bit about Nora's work. Nora is an activist and a lecturer here in UCC. And some of the things she's passionate about is women in conflict zones. And I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about that. She's worked with the Minister for Foreign Affairs Department and stuff on this sort of thing. Do you want to maybe give a little rundown of your work, Nora?
Thank you. I have started activism when I was very young. I think at the age of 14 in Somalia.
Wow.
So where there was a lot of conflict, there was war, there was a lot of killing and very damageable human rights abuse and violations happening in the community because of the war. So my human rights work started from home, Somalia, but it didn't end up there. I've been supported by coming to Ireland by Frontline Defenders. It's international human rights organization based in Dublin, and they supported human rights defenders around the world. So I was one of the luckiest people. They have been supported by their project and also by coming to Ireland. So by the time I came to Ireland, I did not stop there, but I started to do my peace and human rights work to continue. I'm still involved with back home, supporting people who are doing the people on the peace building programs, reconciliation and all that, supporting especially women in peace building programs and also mediation programs. And in Ireland, I'm very lucky to be part of the National Action Plan of Women, Peace and Security, which is based on the 1325 UN resolution of women, peace and security. Ireland is one of the member states of the United Nations, and every member state of the United Nations must have developed a national action plan on 1325. So the first of the national action plan, I think it was around 2010 or 11. It was that time, and I was one of the people who have been consulted and also tried to engage with a group of women from conflict settings to put their inputs and experiences for the development of that national action plan. And the year of 2016, 2018 was the second national action plan, which I have been appointed by the Minister of Foreign Affairs at that time to serve the oversight group of Women, Peace and Security of Ireland. So I have been serving that, and I'm still involved to develop the third National Action Plan of Women, Peace and Security. So the opportunity I got was also when we were developing the third National Action Plan, which is the term it will serve in the country, it's from 2019 till 2024, that we have mainly focused on the from the first two national action plans, mostly we were focusing on the international aspect of the national action plan and women, peace and security, and especially the women who are in conflict settings in their countries. But we also, in my capacity and other people also have been trying to push the agenda of involving the support of the women who came from the conflict settings who are living in Ireland.
Yes, of course.
So luckily, the consultation happened here in Cork,
wow,
where we bring more than 100 activists, immigrant community members, the government different sectors, and also the academia, especially UCC was part of that, to get the aspect of making Ireland two dimensions, one localizing, which is domestic one,
yeah,
and one international.
Wow.
So the one international happened in Dublin. I'm very happy that I have been one of the people who organized it in Cork City, in the Cork City Hall, and we have launched that national action plan here in UCC.
Yeah.
Which is, we are very happy. So I would like you to look at that. especially it will help you if you have if you are maybe involved with academic on international law or international development or women business security on any other aspect that may involve you. It's available on the website of the Irish Foreign Affairs.
Just on that note, this is a little on a tangent in a sense, but just on that note, the international development course in UCC is currently going to get cancelled. And I think it's a hugely important course, and just the fact that maybe it's not advertised enough or it doesn't have enough students in it isn't a reason, I think, to cancel it altogether, because it's the only course of its kind in the country. And I think, like you're showing here, it's hugely important, especially for the Ireland that we're becoming, to have this international development, this human rights program. Yes. It's so worth it. So I think there's a petition going around online, and just to spread awareness of it, that this course is under threat. And I think it's, you know, the fact that we have it here in UCC is such a privilege, and to lose that would be such a shame. So just on that note, just to talk about it. But back to the topic at hand, like you came to Ireland in 2005, you're a young mother. It must have been hard, of course, and I can't pretend to understand that at all. But one thing you were talking about is integrating people moving to Ireland today, in almost 20 years later. Maybe could you talk a little bit about that, your work in that sense, and how your experiences have influenced that?
Yes, when I came to Ireland in 2005 October, later on I seek asylum, then I got refugee status very soon. Thank God, I'm very grateful to have that, with the support of the organization who brought me here. Mm-hmm. Mary Lawler, thank you if you hear me. She was the director of Frontline Defenders and also, I think, the founder of Amnesty International Ireland. I'm so grateful their support and the support that they are giving to other community members who are human rights defenders around the world. So what I was feeling that time was I was a bit isolated because I didn't have the community support I have back home. I was feeling very lonely, and I was feeling that I need to be part of a community to establish my own life here, because this is my new home. I have to accept it.
Yes.
So that it was so much difficult, but thank God for my activism work. It connected me with other different activists and organizations available in Cork City and also in Ireland, such as NASC, which was supporting immigrant support organization, like Cork City Partnership. So Australia, I connected with them.
Wow.
So, and Costina, which was organization supporting in Catholic organization, but that time was serving here with the supporting immigrant community. So I tried to involve with them the group work to establish events, bringing and sharing my experience, attaching and connecting with other people and other cultures that break a little bit about the barriers I was feeling.
Yeah.
So that gives me the opportunity to reflect what I needed that time. Like the newcomers of now, they're in a position of where I was standing yesterday.
Yeah.
So to facilitate for them, especially I try to help them, to connect them, advocate for them, and to help them to integrate, discuss with them and all that. So from the beginning, I started with the Somalian community. Later on, I go to the Muslim community and other African community, but now I like connected with every immigrant community that I can help and support.
Yeah.
So that we need to support each other.
Absolutely.
Create a platform where we all connect together and support each other.
It's hugely important work, I think, and thank you so much for facilitating that in our communities. I think that's amazing. So, on that note, the Muslim community in Cork, we're coming very close to Ramadan at the moment, and I maybe want to talk a little bit about just the culture around Ramadan, the events that you have going on, that sort of thing, and also how Ramadan is celebrated in Cork at the moment, because maybe people listening might want to get involved.
Thank you, Kian. That's really good points for the mind, because Ramadan is near now.
It is, yeah.
Yes, we're looking forward to Ramadan. Ramadan is one of the months of the Islamic calendar where every Muslim in the world, when if they are at the age of a puberty, that they have to fast the month of Ramadan, unless they are sick or a mother who's breastfeeding or a woman who have in her period time and all that. So you have some excuses, but in other way, any person who was at the age of puberty, they have to fast the month of Ramadan. And this month of Ramadan has a lot of benefits. That's how we think that it has a lot of benefits. And one of the benefits is health-wise. And another benefit is about connecting with the poor people, especially those who have nothing to eat today. Because we see around the world, there's a lot of hunger. There's
absolutely,
a lot of poverty.
Yes.
There's a lot of people who have no food today or who didn't have a breakfast. So at least to bring that back to you, to reflect back your own humanity, to test your iman or faith or spirituality, connecting with other humans like you who are suffering, I think it has that great benefit.
It's very educational
it's
in that
very
sense.
Educational.
It gives people empathy for,
absolutely.
For sure.
And the second thing is about it's a month of community, sense of community and connecting communities together.
Yeah.
Where people break their fast together, eat together. And pray together at night and connected them spirituality and humanity as well. So it's a month that we share food. It's a month that we share what we have, even it's money. It's a month that we forgive each other.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who has any grudge before started that month, they have to forgive anyone they have any pain. So that kind of is forgiveness.
Yeah, it's very healthy in a sense. Yeah.
So they said it has three things. It's like forgiveness. It's like rahma. It's like a mercy.
Of course, yeah.
It's like they call it's like itqatu min nar. It's thus in the day of the judgment, we call it in Islamic way, that the people will be clear and free from hellfire. So this month is very important for Muslims around the world. In Ireland, why in Ireland? Why in Cork? Ireland became a very multicultural country. It's so beautiful that it's connecting many cultures, people from different ethnicity, people from different cultures and religions. So Islam is one of the religions, and the people who are Muslims here in Cork celebrate that month together with sharing their Irish and other non-Muslim friends. They invite them to eat their food and their iftar and test their food and that what they do in that month of Ramadan. So anyone who likes to share with them and to share that experience, because in the cultural connection that they may familiar with, they can go to the mosque where they serve iftar, or you can see people from all around the world. Ireland brings people together.
Yeah.
And this is what I benefit again, because when I was in Somalia, most of the people I used to see, unless I was working with other foreigners, but they were Somalians. So what I knew, Somalian people, Somalian way of thinking, Somalian culture, Somalian outlook. But for me, the opportunity that Ireland gives me is to people around the world.
Yeah.
I'm from Africa, but I didn't know more African countries and their cultures.
Yeah.
So I learned many African countries, like West African countries,
yeah.
and their dialects, and their speak, and their culture, and their food. People from even East Africa that I have never been connected with.
Yes.
People from other parts of the world, Europe, America, and all that. So that kind of interculturalism today, the world is here in Ireland, in Cork.
Absolutely.
And we wanted to teach that experience.
Yeah, I think that's
connection.
That's one thing, like, obviously I'm promoting on the show, is how many people, how many different cultures flow into Cork every year, and we're always growing culturally, and I think it's amazing. Like, I don't think I've ever said this on the show before, but I went to Educate Together School in Cork City with Nora's daughter Fatima, and it was just a great school, and I think there should be so many more schools like that are more integrated, more mixing cultures and stuff. I just really enjoyed that experience, and I think, you know, it gives, I think it, like, Cork and Ireland on this international scale has a really bright future, as does Somalia with its youth coming back to Somalia, redeveloping it, that sort of thing. Like, as you said, there's a lot of youth in Somalia at the moment, and they're kind of, they're very tech savvy and very, very well educated, and they're building it from the ground up, which is amazing, you know, so... It's great.
Thank you, Kian. Actually, what I forget, you, that technology that you have mentioned right now, Somalia is very developed when it's coming to internet and technology. And the banking system is easier to use today, the mobile version of exchanging money and buying something.
Yes, I read this.
So it's like cashless.
everyone does the phone. It's
just
amazing.
The phone. Yeah. Today, if you forget your money for the transport when you are near the bus, you said, "Oh, I don't have money. Give me 50 cents."
To take
that bus, then I will give you Then you straight to be
text by
so
cash.
Technology
yeah.
like an internet is very accessible and cheaper and easier and accessible in many other parts of the world.
Yeah, I was
so
reading.
Technology
about
is
this,
very
yes.
high, and the people they can use technology very easily.
Yes.
Yes.
I think it's I'm really happy learning about I really enjoyed learning about Somali. It was amazing just to especially we didn't really go into this. I think it would need a much longer episode. We'd just talk about Somalia because there's so much history there, even in recent times. But I'm so happy to see it coming out, and it seems to be going in a good direction at the moment. So I'm delighted with that. So Noura, thank you so much for coming on. I really enjoyed it. Absolutely, no problem at all.
So happy to see you because I used to see you when you were so small, and now there's a young man talking to me now.
Thank you, Noura. Thank you.
So I'm very grateful to have you, son.
Honestly, you're
can
so.
Can I call you son?
You can go ahead. Yeah, it was an absolute pleasure, and I think it was great, and I hope the listeners got a lot out of it. This show will be up on Spotify in the coming days, so Noura, if you do want to listen back to it, feel free. If you want to follow the show, you can follow the show at international_index on Instagram. I'll be back next week. I think I'm covering an Argentinian episode. And how do you say goodbye in Somalian?
Masalama.
Masalama, everyone. And I'm going to play you out with this tune by Omar Shuli. Omar Shuli, yeah.
Thank you. Omar Shuli.
Omar Shuli?
Yeah.
Omar Shuli? Okay. And it's called Hug Me, and it's another one of my Mogadisco tracks. So here you go. Enjoy this song.